name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love the practice of gift giving. It might make me seem less pious, but it's my last Sunday, so I can be completely honest with you. I loved gift giving. And one of my most treasured gifts that I have from the Church of the Redeemer is this. It's a stool that I got from the Redeemer kids after my ordination, and it has all their artwork on it, and I love wearing it. I cherish it when I'm wearing it, and I love it even when I'm not, and I always get compliments on it. So I love this gift. Now, one of the strangest gifts I've ever gotten, not from the Church of the Redeemer, but I did get it during my time with you, is this. This is a clergy Barbie doll. And I know what you're all thinking. We don't necessarily look alike because I would never do my makeup this way. But besides that, apparently this doll has been handed down from female curate to female curate for who knows how long. And now that my curacy is over, I have to give this to someone. And I don't know how I feel about that. But I do remember getting this from another curate, and I was completely caught off guard. I mean, you don't expect a gift like this. And I will be honest and admit that after I received it in my office, Shirley and I did play with her. You know, we changed her from cassock to Al, and she did ministry. What else? I mean, that's what she does. So that's what we did with her. But it still was a gift that left me with a lot of questions. Have you ever gotten one of those? A gift that you've been so excited to receive, you've torn through the wrapping paper, picked it up, and thought, what on earth is this? You don't know why it was given to you. You don't know what you're going to do with it or where you're going to stash it. And you're left with a lot of questions. When I got a salad spinner in my first year of university, when I got a piggy bank instead of a bike as a kid, when I got this doll, I had so many questions. Today, in the Gospel of John, we hear part of a discourse revolving around a gift, bread from heaven and eternal life. After Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he and his disciples leave the crowds. And once the crowds notice, they follow. And the gospel says these crowds got into boats and crossed to the other side of the sea, to Capernaum, to find Jesus. And they eventually find him teaching in a temple. And Jesus tells these crowds about a gift that he is giving them. Jesus tells them that he is the living bread from heaven, the flesh that will give life for the world forever. This is Jesus's gift. But the excitement of receiving a gift, like we spoke about, is quickly put on the back burner. Instead, the crowds basically think, what on earth is this? They question the gift, disputing amongst themselves, asking how Jesus can give his flesh to be eaten. Confusion, apprehension, disgust, suspicion. The crowds might have been feeling all of these things as they tried to think through how this man could give his flesh to be eaten. But I'm sure there might have been many other questions on their mind. What is this life everlasting? Is he for real? How much bread does he really want me to eat? The list could go on. The people questioned Jesus's gift of bread from heaven and eternal life then, and we can often question it today, especially when at this time we're not partaking in it in the same way. On this day, we recognize Corpus Christi, a feast which means body of Christ. A feast that celebrates the joy of the institution of the Eucharist and the gifts of bread and wine that we share together when we are gathered around the altar. And so it is quite strange not to today. And so we might have even more questions about this gift today than we usually would. And trust me, I read every single article and letter by every lay person and clergy and bishop I could find about what it means to partake in the Eucharist or not to partake in the Eucharist during COVID-19. And to be honest, I am left with more questions than when I started. If we are honest, we all have questions about our faith all the time. Whether we question aloud to those we trust or just in our Google searches, we have all been curious, confused, unsure at some point in time, and perhaps tried to find answers that would settle our minds and our hearts, answers that would keep our faith strong. The church and your faith, your exploration of them, and your understanding of them have been a gift. And I'm not saying they always make your life easier, but I do think at some point in your life, they've been gifts to you, to us. That's why we're here. Yet they are still gifts we can question from time to time, perhaps now more than usual. How can we remain the church if we're not in our building, if we're not sharing in the Eucharist? What has the church and the Christian faith done to harm Black people, to uphold racism, to uphold prejudice? What have we done to end it? Do I really put my faith into action? How do I know what that looks like? How do I know what to do? What are some of your questions about these gifts we have received? The church and your faith are gifts. And like the crowds that day in Capernaum, we too question the gifts we have been given. Despite the questions and the disputes that the people had about Jesus's gift, the gift was not taken away. And Jesus did not shy away from exploring more deeply with those around him what he was speaking about, what they were questioning. The communion Jesus describes, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, is very intimate. And so Jesus responds to the questions and the disputes around him by inviting people closer to him, intimately, not turning them away. If you read this entire chapter, chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, you'll find that even before what we heard today, Jesus spent time explaining and exploring with the people who have followed him how he comes from God, giving life to the world. Then right after today's gospel, Jesus continues to take time to explain to his disciples that he brings them spirit and life. Jesus does not leave the people alone that day or the days to follow, but stays with them first in body and then in spirit, because God's gift of eternal life is there unconditionally, no matter the disputes, no matter the questions. No matter the confusion, apprehension, disgust, suspicion, or wherever one might end up, Jesus offers the gift of eternal life and remains with the people to explore and embrace what that truly means. For almost 3 years, you, the Church of the Redeemer, have been my gift. I began my time with you as a student, knowing I felt called to ordained ministry, but being uncertain of the road ahead and doubting myself and what I could bring to the life of the church. Almost 3 years later, on my last Sunday with all of you, to be honest, I still leave not knowing what is to come and at times still doubting myself. But nonetheless, I now leave the Church of the Redeemer as a priest who has been strengthened by your love, commitment, and faith. I know who I want to be as a priest, as a person of faith, because of you and all you have taught me. And even with the gift of all of you, with the joy that came with you, There are some times I had questions about this gift too. Times when I was confused, terrified, uncomfortable. Times when I would look at Susan and Stephen as my supervisors and say, "You think I can do what?" But in the midst of all the peaks and the valleys, you, the Church of the Redeemer, never left me alone. And I know that might not sound good, but it is good. You were there for me. You cried with me. You laughed with me. You have supported me when my office filled with arts and crafts for Redeemer kids. You gathered around the altar with me as I presided over my first Eucharist. And you prayed with me and for me. There were times when I had questions about the journey and all that has happened, but by God's grace and Jesus's example, you intimately pulled me closer, whether you knew it or not. I'm ready for what comes next because of you. You are a gift that I cherish now, and there are parts of your gift to me that I will be unpacking for the rest of my life. I thank you for being my gift on this journey and walking with me every step of the way. In the readings we hear today, in the recognizing of the festival of Corpus, the Feast of Corpus Christi, Jesus gives the gift of life. It is a gift for the world, whether we can celebrate it in the same way today or whether we can even fully understand it. I still have questions about this passage, about the Eucharist. I still have questions about my faith and the church and our presence in the world. And I'm sure you still have yours. And we will continue to have them as we continue on in a world that very often falls short of who God calls us to be. Take your questions, take your disputes, and take them to God. Be vulnerable. Be honest. Be in prayer. God can handle it. Some days, the gifts we have received bring us more love and hope than could ever be imagined. And sometimes they bring us questions. In either case, what this gospel calls us to recognize is that we are never alone. We are, in fact, always pulled closer and strengthened by the love of God that is so unconditional and so intimate and immense all at the same time. A love that journeys with us, exploring and understanding, unwavering. Today, be thankful for that gift, the love that never fails and never leaves. Embrace it, proclaim it, and share it with those around you the way we are called to, because this is how we continue to be the body of Christ. Let us give thanks for this gift of love for each other and all of God's gifts that are more than we can ask or imagine. Amen.